Tonight in the NBA playoffs, the Philadelphia 76ers take on the Boston Celtics again, and the Toronto Raptors face the Cleveland Cavaliers. So is it okay to root for LeBron James if you're nowhere near Cleveland? Can you cheer on the Golden State Warriors if you're not in the Golden State? Our next guest says absolutely yes. Derek Thompson wants people to support the teams they like and, quote, abandon your sad sack local franchise. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, of course, you're not talking about the Celtics when you say that, who are doing great right now. But
quite the opposite of a sad sack
franchise,
yes.
Exactly. So, but why should people give up on their hometown team?
Well, first, let me just say that after I published this essay in The Atlantic magazine about a month ago, the blowback has, I would say, been worse than in 1729 when Jonathan Swift published his modest proposal suggesting that people eat the children of the poor. People are not happy about the idea that we abandon the sad sack local franchise. But my take here is pretty simple. Sports is entertainment. Sports is there to make us feel happy. And there's lots of ways to feel happy watching sports. But one way to not feel happy is to root for the Cleveland Browns when they lose 29 games in a row just because your grandfather and his grandfather happened to root for the same team. You should follow what I call a policy of fluid fandom. Allow yourself to fall in love with players and storylines and narratives and teams that you just like. And if that happens to mean abandoning the sad sack local franchise, well, so be it.
Well, you write that America's professional athletic leagues are essentially cartels at this point. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, this is probably the most serious point that I make in the piece. And that is that, you know, in England, there are like more than a dozen local soccer teams, or I should say football teams in the city of London. But in the U.S., professional sports leagues are essentially cartels. That is, dictate that there can be no more than one team per sport per city, unless the city is really big like New York or Los Angeles. But that essentially means that fans are shackled to one specific team per sport. And if that team is terrible for decades or even generations, well, too bad. The billionaire owner of that franchise is still going to rake in money hand over fist and be able to extort the municipal government by threatening to leave the city because he has all the power. It goes right back to the concept of monopoly. We say that monopolies are bad in every business because it means that consumers are subject to the whims of billionaires. And I think that's exactly what has happened with sports. And one way to break this bind is to allow ourselves to have a more fluid relationship with fandom such that we have the power to determine that we will root for another team without being insulted by all of our friends if we do so.
Well, and to your point, whether the fans in that area like the team or not, the local team, they're probably spending a lot of taxpayer dollars to keep it there.
They absolutely are. Andrew Zimbalist is an economics professor at Smith College who has written prolifically about the financial aspects of sports. And he said that, you know, since 1990, right, so in the last 28 years, local and state governments in the U.S. have spent $24 billion on stadiums for sports, both professional and college. That is far beyond the community value that any particular team can justify. These governments are spending this money because the millionaire and billionaire owners have the monopoly power to demand it. And all I'm suggesting in this piece is that we, the consumers, have the power to break this monopoly power by simply saying, just because my father rooted for this team and just because my uncle rooted for this team does not mean that I am genetically or legally bound to do the same. I have the power to root for the team that makes me happy.
You've got experience with this, Derek. You grew up in Virginia, but you were brainwashed into rooting for the Yankees by your uncle. How did that work out for you?
Yes, let me apologize first of all to all the Boston listeners. I was brainwashed by my uncle in the mid-1990s to be a New York Yankees fan. And this was an auspicious time to become a Yankees fan. They were starting their incredible run of championships. And they also just happened to be led by this guy named Derek Jeter. He shared my first name. It was pretty much written
that was
in
it.
Stone that I was going to be a Yankees fan for life right there. But basically, you know, D.C. sports at the time were terrible. And my dad was like, I don't like any of the hometown teams, so let's just find teams teams that we like in baseball, in basketball, in football, in hockey. And we did. And so I kind of accidentally adopted this triumphalist attitude towards sports where I fell in love with, you know, Peyton Manning and LeBron James and ended up rooting for, you know, the best quarterback, arguably, and the best basketball player, arguably, in their respective leagues. And I became kind of one of these bandwagoners that constantly had to apologize for my sports allegiances. And this piece is basically my announcement to the world that I'm done apologizing and I would like to present the theory of fluid fandom for popular consumption.
But probably not so easy for you to go to Yankee games when you lived in Virginia.
No, yeah, rather difficult, but easier and easier to watch sports in New York if you live in D.C. or watch sports in, you know, St. Louis if you live in Los Angeles. And easy, the reason that fluid fandom, I think, is taking off is A, fantasy sports sort of complicates local allegiance because you're rooting for players who are far flung.
Right.
And then also, you know, cable and internet access allows you to watch all these games across the country. So you really can pick and choose. It is in your power to make that choice.
Well, in the NBA right now, I'm rooting for the Celtics, but I will say, even though I'm not in Cleveland, I still am happy when LeBron does well. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks as always.
Thanks. Go Celts.